of the Weed Out, where we weed out the bullshit and talk about the nonsense in our backyard. As always, I'm Spencer Fox Peterson with my co-host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna May Booty.
This week, we have our good friend, Owen Broadhurst, Holyoke native, neighbor of mine, rather, not a native, neighbor of mine, who's an organizer. He's the executive of the Western Mass Local Workers Party, and a very knowledgeable person when it comes to the history of Holyoke politics and Western Mass Massachusetts politics in general. He's been around the block a long time. We're very happy to have Owen on. We're going to discuss some specific stuff that's going on in Holyoke, but you can all imagine it's going to be related to policing and public safety and also the underserved. So, Joanna, how are you today before we get into anything?
I'm doing all right. You know, there's a lot of heavy things going on right now in the world. And so I want to just let the audience know, do not turn a blind eye. Do not allow the messaging that you should be able to remain comfortable, allow you to look away from atrocities that are occurring. If you need a break and you need to, you know, regain, you know, we all have to work. We all have to regain our strength to keep going. Please do that. But I've seen some things like take the weekend off and stuff like that. And I don't like that messaging. So I just want to put it out there that I really want people to be focused on actions that can pull them forward. And I've seen that throughout the Western Mass community. So thank you to all of the organizers standing out and all of the protesters and all of the people who can't do those things but are calling their representatives and still getting through the day somehow. So I'm all right, Spence, but I think how are you doing? I think you're probably going to agree with me.
I'm personally, you know, despite the world crumbling, I will be frank with the audience. I have never been in a better personal mental space. So I try to look for that silver lining. And I also, anybody listening that struggled with depression or any of that stuff, it's completely fucking reasonable. We'll just be forthright with everybody. I have suffered from depression and anxiety literally my whole life. My father suffered from it. It suffers from it. It's a thing. But I've never felt safer as far as personally. And I am thankful that I have that, but it also enrages me seeing cities be bombed, genocidal rhetoric just coming from the highest offices of every land, down to the street sweepers are saying some vile ass shit. And I don't know. It's fascinating because my mental health was really dark 15 years ago, you know, and after a long time, I'm in a better space. And of course the world is literally on fucking fire. And, but it's also the reason it's not, I didn't do this alone. It's the people around me. So, organizers like Joanna, that's how Joanna and I met. And also Owen here. And we have coalesced around, similar values, and we all have different ideas. We all have different solutions as people, but the values are what matters. And that's why I'm really excited to share my story, but also bring people on like Owen. So without further ado, I know I just like laid some heavy stuff on you, but Owen, welcome to the show, buddy.
Good evening. Happy to be here.
So Owen, first of all, I guess, how are you doing today despite all the outside world? How are you personally?
Despite all of this, I'm actually doing fairly well. I'm able to meet my financial obligations. I seem to be in fairly good health. I'm managing my chronic pain fairly well. I think I'm in a good space at the moment.
Well, you came to the Weed Out, so we're going to smoke a joint together virtually.
Very good.
And just for full disclosure, everybody at home, sorry to interrupt you. I smoke weed throughout this whole show. That's partially why we call it the Weed Out, because I need something to do with my hands while other people are talking. So, Joanna, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're good. I just wanted to clarify, since we've all now mentioned mental health, I wasn't necessarily focusing on that. But I do want people to take care of that if that is something that's impacted by the outside world. I just wanted to clarify. It can, like you said, really weigh on people who may have any of those issues.
Yeah, of course. Whenever somebody needs to take a break, we need everybody at their strongest they can be. So if that means taking a break, that's fine. But don't encourage people to look away. We've been seeing lots of
that's what I was referring to.
White neoliberal influencers. There's this one person on TikTok that gets my fucking nerves. Her name's V under their name, non-binary person. Sorry, Under the Desk News. It's been revealed that they have ties to the State Department. So, and they were the ones pumping out that just look away. You're going to see some bad stuff this weekend. So anyways, we're off topic again. Sorry about that, everybody. But so Owen, Holyoke, I'm just going to, how long have you been involved in politics in Massachusetts? What brought you to this point? Just give us a quick background on who you are.
Well, I've been a political activist since the age of 5 when I first joined the National Wildlife Federation. I became involved in the town of Agawam politics in my 20s, ran for city council there several times. In the year 1996, I ran for state representative as a member of the Green Party, the Green Rainbow Party. I was a Green Rainbow Party candidate for state representative there. I had been involved in the Green Rainbow Party for several years before bolting them for the Socialist Party. Then I left the Socialist Party to help found this Workers' Party of Massachusetts. I've been in Holyoke now for just about 8 years. I've been engaged in all kinds of different political activities and gathered together several like-minded people to create the Western Massachusetts local of the Workers' Party here.
So Owen, tell us how you took your journey from going from, you know, the Green Party to the Workers' Party, which is communist. Like, that it's not a giant leap, but like what is there one or two things that kind of big things that nudged you in that direction?
Well, I've been a Marxist for the bulk of my life, and even when I was involved in the Greens, I was involved in their different eco-socialist caucuses, organizing with other Marxists in that party. Founding members of the Massachusetts Green Party were actually classmates of mine at UMass. And I came to coalesce again with them after graduating when they had recruited Dr. Jill Stein as their gubernatorial candidate. And what she was saying then sounded very good to me, which is kind of ironic since she's partly the reason that I finally felt compelled to leave.
It's usually how it goes. Usually the most charismatic or the one that draws you in is sometimes the one that drives you out. I can think of different creative projects and or business things. There's at least one in my professional career where somebody, I was madly in love with this guy. I thought he was amazing. And at the end, I fucking hated him. And same thing in a band, like the guy I started a band with, we ended up hating each other at the end. And well, not hating, we get along, but like, you know, not be able to work with them anymore. But yeah, those people can draw people in. That's why, you know, that's why politics are so fraught with problems. And this is my awkward segue into Mayor Josh Garcia. Talk about a dude that I see as very charming, as engaging. And then if you're with him too long, you're going to get sick of his shit, because in my opinion, he doesn't have an honest bone in his body so far. So
absolutely. I 100% concur. When he launched his mayoral campaign, I spoke with him. I told him that I was interested in campaigning against his opponent specifically because his opponent was advocating for what in essence was a police occupation of the lower wards. I made that clear to Josh that that was what I was primarily taking exception to his opponent for. What did Josh do? He turned around to do the same.
And I guess my question is why? Let's even play like nice about it. Let's assume he does have good intentions and he did mean that, which I don't think he did. I think he was just trying to get elected. He jumped in the race late. It was a whole thing. But let's like, what happens to them once they get in the machinations of this system that they cannot? Like, I think about some counselors right now on the council advocating for boots on the ground, literally using the word boots on the ground. Like, and they were borderline abolitionist type folk, you know, like what happens once you're in there?
I don't know. I think to some degrees, these folks, upon getting elected to the city council, get to know one another. They befriend one another. They hang out with one another, and they become informed by each other rather than people on the ground and people in the streets.
I also wonder that one, and we have in common that we both lost one of our tries at like a council. I know you ran for council in Amherst and lost by one vote, and I lost by one vote up here in Montague. And I do wonder if I had gained, you know, like that seat, if I would have had to have changed, you know, because you do want to try to stay in your position and like make the community happy and like do, but I also have values that I think, so I when I try to answer this, I try to think of what I would do. And I think I'd end up being a one-term person because I think I'd stick to my guns and people would be mad. Not to [S2] Yep. [S1] Say stick to my guns, but I just think like my values often would potentially, I think maybe the people in Holyoke that, like you said, like you spend time with each other, you want to be friends with each other. But I think that may cloud your overall vision. Like Spencer's mentioning, I think even Jose, Maldonado Vel, I'm so sorry. I always forget his full last name, but I know the city councilor that's running for a councilor at large in Holyoke has been an outward abolitionist, and I've heard that he's in support even of these sweeps. So I too have been wondering and reflecting on if I were put in that position of power, and I did have something happen where, you know, a life was potentially lost due to an upsetting violent incident, would I change my values? And I think it's a hard question to answer, but I think you're right, Owen. It's hard once you then are like with these people, and it's a lot of work too.
And do you have any, Owen, do you have any follow-up, like, kind of thoughts on the direction of politics in Holyoke? You know, my council's been pretty sparsely attended by other members of the community recently, the last, like, four or five meetings. So I guess my question is, like, do you have a vibe on the ground on where people are going to go next? Like, do you think is there any chance we could get anybody understanding the direct correlation between the policing issue and the underfunded everywhere else? We're literally seeding sewage into the river.
It's difficult to say. I know that, you know, Jose and Izzy both feel this. I know that they both want to move away from having police answer every goddamn problem and with every call. I know that they want to move away from the model policing that we have now, but I don't think they know how to move beyond that model to move towards the type of community we would like to see with police abolished.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I have my opinions on the Holyoke police, and I swear to God, I think they don't fuck with me because look at me, like I'm one of them. cis hetero male, like, you know, I got to give that vibe. But like you've told me your personal interactions with the police. And again, you've been here 8 years. You're not a kid. You weren't a kid when you dealt with them. So can you share with the community, at least the one interaction I'm thinking of right now? I don't want to speak for you. So please share with us your interactions with the police.
When the detectives knocked on my door. Yes. That was a very interesting thing. This city councilor then by the name of Jen Shotnoof had proposed an ordinance that would pretty much ban panhandling. She proposed assessing fines to panhandlers. I took exception to this and threatened to picket the business as she runs Nick's Nest. As a result of this, I was accused of arson. I was accused of plotting arson together with another late activist blogger, my dearly departed friend Jim Bickford. We were accused of plotting arson, and I had cops knocking on my door, trying to talk to me. I had to pay $5 to see the false police report that was filed against me.
I'm sorry. Like, the fucking bureaucratic kick in the balls that are fees from the government. Like, it's like, like you were saying with the fining panhandlers. Like, come on. They don't have any money. Like, they wouldn't be fucking panhandling if they had fucking money. So, yeah, I don't know. The fines against the working class. Boo. let's fix the core issue. Why are people speeding on the highway? Oh, wait, too many fucking cars are on the highway. You know, that's my point of view there.
That was this recent sweep, supposedly to combat violent crime. What are they doing? They're accosting pedestrians. They're ticketing people in their motor vehicles, assessing more fines and fees on working people.
Yeah, I wondered if you could elaborate on that for the audience. Owen, like, what has been going on recently in Holyoke and why regarding the sweep?
Let's make sure we address. A couple weeks ago, there was a shooting on a bus and innocent bystanders were hurt and killed, including an unborn child. And yeah, that's fucked up. But, you know, I see that problem personally and I go, well, what's the domino effect that led to this point? Oh, these people likely grew up with lack of resources. And then ultimately they don't have anything to give a fuck about or value life about. So guns get fired. And if you legitimize business, then they can go to court and fight like white men. You know, like, that's the thing that drives me nuts. We have a court system. If we legalize what the gangs are doing, they can go fucking deal with it at court and not fight with each other with guns. That's what the white guys get to do, the white businessmen. So this person, this tragedy happens and the whole community is very upset. Facebook was a wild place. So that's the backstop. And then since this has happened, the council and the mayor have promised more boots on the ground. They're upping their quote unquote dialogue with the community by showing pictures of cops on foot in town. It's all an illusion of safety that costs a lot of money. So Owen, you definitely told us the story in the before recording. Tell the audience the stories you've been hearing from the ground about since this tragic murder of somebody on a bus.
Well, the police operated this Operation Safe Streets campaign. They called in DEA, they called in FBI, they called in state police, and they launched this wild campaign of accosting people on a street, people on the bridge, Chicopee, people crossing the bridge in Chicopee trying to buy cat food, getting arrested for not having identification. So this is ostensibly to stop violent crime, but it looks more to me like this was an excuse to harass, accost, arrest, and sweep homeless folks and other dispossessed folks, other downtrodden folks who might not have ID. What business do they have asking anyone ID within the Commonwealth of Massachusetts anyway? If you're not driving a motor vehicle, that's supposed to be illegal, isn't it?
Nobody's a lawyer here, but I'm pretty sure that's a violation of your Fourth and Sixth Amendments. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but yeah, it seems pretty common.
So there was apparently some 53 stops on the streets, and now they're threatening to do this again. They put out a statement saying that they want the city council and the mayor to authorize and voice support for more Operation Safe Street operations to harass working people and once again occupy the lower wards.
Yeah, and that's it. It's specifically Ward 1. And this is where ShotSpotter was set up. It's not to be dark, people at home, but this is the same technology that the Israeli Defense Force uses against the folk in Palestine. And our cops train with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. So Cop City in Atlanta, if you're familiar with it, that's being consulted on by with IDF as a consultant. So these people are fucking nuts, and this doesn't lead to safety. And that's how I've decided to try to argue it with strangers and normies. Like, hey man, I want safety. And thank you, Joanna. I just want to shout out Joanna, because that's definitely, you're the one that gave me that tactic. What means safety?
What?
Does these guys
pulling
over homeless people make you feel safe? Doesn't make me feel safe. Makes me feel like, wow, all that money, wow, you could have fucking bought them some dinner.
Well, and Owen's saying like not have, well, right, exactly. And you're saying they didn't, people that didn't have their ID, like that's not a reason to be arrested either. That's not.
It's stop and frisk, fucking.
That's, you don't have to show your ID. Like what? And I'm, what if I forgot it at home? I was just taking a walk. Like that should alarm citizens everywhere.
So this is in Holyoke, everybody. Everybody at home, like, if you're listening, you're likely in the Pioneer Valley or the Connecticut River Valley or the Berkshires or maybe Boston. Like, we're a tiny community. We're 40,000 people in a city that should have 60,000. And that's why part of the reason our taxes are the way they are. And then they just brutalize the least of us. And I'm just going to be frank. Some of the people down in Ward 1 are I will say, they want this. They think they want it. They're saying they want it. Do you have any thoughts on parts of the community that are the most affected but are still asking for it?
Makes me wonder whether they've forgotten their history. Wasn't too many years ago, 1970s, Mayor William Taupier had imposed the same sort of thing on Ward 1, virtual police occupation of the ward. He had imposed a curfew upon the ward, and people needed identification to enter and exit the ward. And now we come full circle again.
That's so scary.
How did that?
Oh my goodness.
How did that get resolved or reformed?
I think it eventually sort of faded out of view. Back at that time, from what I'm understanding, the sole and only body that stood against it were the Puerto Rican Socialist Party, which once was active in the community. How that exactly got resolved, how we stepped away from it, I do not honestly know. Back then, I was a toddler.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, a mayor, new mayor came in and changed the policy. You know, like, probably as simple as that, because that probably comes down from the executive. But guys, I host a podcast on abolition, and I'm at a loss with people when they're asking for more, and they're the
more policing, you mean,
children, I just don't know what to say, because it's like, I also don't want to tell you what you need.
Yeah, so I guess if the community members that live in this place feel unsafe and they think that the police will make them safer, then that's why some of the counselors, I'm guessing, are trying to potentially like facilitate that. But I do find it to be, I don't know, like guns. More guns to me don't make it safer. And I personally would rather negotiate with a gang member than a police officer. So I don't know what every community member with a child needs, and I don't think that they should be denied safety. I just don't think, they're going to get that from the police, is my point.
Actually, Joanna, the police are a gang.
Well, yes, I'd rather negotiate with a street gang that doesn't have a fucking association that takes all of our taxes, is what I mean.
And then gets donations. Guys,
I'd rather street talk than the talk to those money. Bureaucratic assholes. Yeah, they're the most corrupt
dirtiest money in all of the world has to be police benevolent associations. Talk about a racket, because there, I guarantee you, inside of that, whoever's running the actual money side of it is also scamming.
Oh,
so it's like
there's a documentary now called the documentary on Netflix. People need to watch it. I've talked about it. I'll link to it. It's about the calls that you get when those police, when they're begging for money. It's a total, it's a grift on grift on grift. Like no one give, tell your grandmas, close the phone.
Oh, and have you seen the, up on the way to East Hampton, Mount Tom Road, the guy that has your best protection of state troopers, like billboard in his front yard?
No.
Oh, you've been there for years. You must have seen it. So if you're going up, like you're going to hop on the highway, but you pass the highway and you're heading about to go over the mountain, right before you cross into East Hampton, this guy, and he like writes books too. He's got like a weird website ad outside of those. Yeah. I'll take a picture now. Sorry for everybody at home. I'm gonna have to take a picture and put it online. But yeah, he has this like literally, I mean, it's not billboard, but it's like, you know, your typical political sign. It's like, it's like the one they put at rotaries that's got like sticks, you know? So it's like 6 feet wide.
Okay. Yeah. We have a lot of people up here that get the extra big one.
And yeah, so it says state troopers are your best protection. And it's just like,
oh goodness.
What? Yeah. Weird. Weird. Anyways, so back to Holyoke. What is the Workers' Party getting into as far as, you know, Holyoke, Northampton, Springfield, Western Mass, the state? Tell us what's going on with the Workers' Party.
Well, with regards to the local, we're trying to find our bearings after some little bit of a political shakeup in our scene. So we're still trying to get our bearings in the community. What future actions we may be taking have yet to be determined. One thing that we're certainly doing is fielding candidates for public office. We're fielding, for instance, a candidate for the Senate. Brandon J. Griffin is challenging Elizabeth Warren. And we hope through these campaigns to put our platform before the people and encourage more people to seek office running as candidates of our party. We believe as a party that perhaps the best ways that we can make change within our communities is by fielding candidates who can express this message and get folks involved in building the party. So hopefully we could create a slate of socialist candidates, get socialist candidates involved as a slate. The slate concept worked very well for these liberals now wanting boots on the ground. Perhaps a competing slate of socialist candidates can get the message across.
Yeah, and pull them left a little bit. We got to move this Overton window. You know, I mean, Joanne and I don't typically get into political wonkiness here or like strategy. I don't consider myself an expert at all. So I stay away from it. But I will say, like, you do have to.
I want to, like, but you don't.
No, it's not that I just don't want to make an ass of myself. And, but I do understand. We got to move this Overton window fucking any way we can, man. Like it's, you know, say what you want. The Democrats do have a platform. The Republicans just don't. So like, you know, if you're a voting person, you're still voting Republican. Like, I don't know what to do for you. Like they don't even have a platform. They literally do not even have a platform. Go and look at the people running and see what their fucking platform and agenda is. And yeah, they may lie to you and they, you know, pull a fucking 1-2 on you like Joe Biden just did, everybody. Like $2,000 checks, didn't happen. Fucking protecting Roe v. Wade, didn't happen. Like he's literally whiffed on all the things he promised. Student debt, like this is bullshit. I don't have student debt, everybody, but it should be forgiven. That's good for the
I do. I have a lot of it, everybody. It
should be forgiven. It's good for the economy. Like, I thought you're all capitalists. Like, what the fuck? You don't even understand your own goddamn system. Like, Sorry. I don't even really understand economics either. So like, but it's just like the one thing I do know is if people have money, people can buy shit. No. Anyways. So Holyoke, you got, so as far as not Holyoke, but Massachusetts, you have Brandon Griffin running for Senate. And where can we find, where can the audience find the platform? Like I just mentioned, the agenda, the platform. Where's the best way to find the Workers' Party?
If you were to, for instance, just Google Workers' Party of Massachusetts, you would bring you right to the website.
Awesome.
Let me see if I can find the URL.
And Owen, I just wanted to ask, what are the Workers' Party Western Mass chapter potentially doing if anyone wanted to get involved in just, you know, kind of standing up to this sweeps, that the police sweeps that are happening? Like what actionable are you guys doing anything that people can maybe get involved with?
Well, at the moment, we've been speaking with city councilors. We've been speaking with the mayor. We've been speaking our mind, and we've been opposing counter demonstrations where we've seen people rallying for this greater police presence. We're not a very large entity here yet, but we're hoping folks will hear that out. Here's the website, workerspartyma.nationbuilder.com.
Awesome, and we'll share that in the notes too.
Absolutely, and anybody that wants to organize, you know, with the Weed Out, the Workers' Party, it's all about coalition building, it's all about networking. So please reach out to, you just got to know the players there. We don't have to listen to these fucking Republicans and Democrats. I mean, the Democrats have an agenda, but like in Hidden Ink, it says, P.S., we're not doing any of this. Like, you know, and the things they promise to do is like, we're going to make sure the police get more training. And we all know that's not the fucking problem at this point. So organize with your neighbors. Right. Yes. This is why we're not an anarchist show. Like, I'm never going to say like, you can't engage with the system, man. Like you gotta poke and prod where you can. And, you know, voting is a tool. I suggest you use it, but if you don't want to do something else, you know, organize a food drive, or you know, there's other things everybody can do. So it's not all about electoralism. It is about forming coalitions and networks of, you know, even if it's just literally checking on your neighbor, your neighbor that you know lives alone. It's as simple as that. That's community. And that's how we talk and we see everybody as humans. And we unisolate ourselves. How do you feel about that?
Mutual aid networks are definitely community building.
Yeah,
efforts.
And like, you'll see your neighbor and not just some guy that you pass on the way home from your shitty job. And you'll be like, oh, it's Joe or Jimmy or whoever. And you fucking give him a wave. You talk to him. Oh shit. Your dryer died. Well, you can bring your shit over to my house. You know, like that's how we do it. You know, not everybody on the street needs to own a lawnmower. I'm just going to say it. Fucking drives me nuts. Everybody mows their lawn.
I was just sharing your theory with someone like the other day off. I just have to let everyone know it's a good plan.
We all chip in. Like the guy that's like likes machines, there's always somebody that likes machines and maintaining them. They can be the one. Yeah, maybe like I don't know, you can figure it out. It can be figured out. We don't need to go through all these legitimate systems, but getting involved in the system is also a way to rebel. I don't know. Or,
well, yeah. And I want to just always say, I've said in the past, we talked about like federal level, like Republican versus Democrat crap. I'm sorry, everyone. I don't feel they're much different other than a few very small things. The lesser evil thing is really difficult for me, but on the local level, you really can, your vote really matters so much, and so much. And you really can see, you can have this opportunity, like Owen just said, we're speaking our mind. We're calling the counselors, we're calling the mayor. That's important. Your community members need to be speaking out and saying those things. And we don't get to call Biden and say how we feel, really. I mean, you maybe get to talk to a staff member, So I really just urge people, when you feel like at a loss, you can't do anything, like we're saying, this community networking and getting to know people in these different ways, either through the Western Mass Workers Party, through organizing, just in general around similar values. That's really important, and it does make a change. And I've seen it at a local level, even if it's small.
Those who may be interested in getting involved in the Western Mass local, we currently meet twice a month. We meet every first and third Monday, 6 p.m. at the South Hadley Public Library.
Thank you, Owen.
And as always, if you didn't catch all that, you're driving, whatever, go to our website, www.theweedout.com. All of the links that would be pertinent to that episode will be there with our episode and our show notes. Please, everybody, feel free to reach out to us, theweedout@gmail.com, or you can go to one of our social media profiles. That's where most people interact with us. And you can always DM us. You can go to our link tree, find all relevant links, any place you need to. I just updated the link tree. So I know all the links work, you know. Let me know if nothing does. We're pretty responsive. So again, everybody, thank you to the audience. Great appreciation for everybody that's participated and reached out. We have some great, great things coming up in the next season, I guess we'll call it. I don't know. It's fall now. So I guess Joanna and I are going to talk about Christian leaves every episode. It's rainy today. Because that's all, we're old people.
And it's spooky season too.
Sure.
And I'm spooky.
Well, my head's a haunted house, so.
Right, mine too.
Spooky season around. Those guys, I see nothing but ghouls everywhere. And you know what?
They're all around.
And you know what? Segway, ghoulery and tomfoolery. So, Owen, if you're not familiar, we do a segment at the end of our episodes 90% of the time where we pull up an article, try to make it as local as possible. But if it's absurd enough, we'll go national or worldwide. But tend to try to stick with the local affiliates, whether it's WWLP, Mass Live. That's usually where our tomfoolery comes from, because, you know, it's. And then ghoulery usually comes from more serious people like Equality Alec on Twitter, or today we're featuring Dusty Christensen at the Shoestring. So Northampton, been in the news a lot. We've talked about Northampton a lot on the Weed Out, specifically them getting Israeli Defense Force technology dash cams and body cams that go into a cloud system that can be subpoenaed by ICE. Virtually, in my opinion, making Northampton not a sanctuary city. They created a dragnet. They're using the same tech that Israelis are using on the Palestinians. And then there was Marisol out of Holyoke, who was brutally beaten for miscommunication at best, at worst. And while she was fucking working, you know, 60-year-old person working at late at night, and this goon pulls her out of her car and beats the shit out of her, and then another guy shows up and assaults her with one of his service weapons. Like, it's disgusting. So Northampton's back in the news, I guess, is where I'm going with this. So Dusty Christensen, the Shoestring, quote, "We're gonna cheat," end quote. Northampton police accused of open admission of malfeasance. So I'm gonna pull this up on the screen so everybody at home can see. Okay. Can y'all see that on your end?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Shoestring, we'll link this in our episode notes, everybody. In July, a judge slammed a Northampton police officer's conduct in an OUI case as an anathema to the fair and impartial administration of the law. The department is now investigating the officer. They're going to investigate themselves. Anyways.
I thought they already cleared themselves.
Oh, probably. It was nearly 5 a.m. on a chilly January morning when two Northampton police officers pulled over a driver for a busted taillight and then arrested him in a drunk driving charge. In their arrest report, the officers alleged that the car smelled like alcohol, that the driver had glassy eyes, slurred his words, and fumbled his belongings before failing field sobriety tests. When Northampton District Court Judge, Judge Mary Beth Ogulowitz, excuse me if I'm saying that wrong, Judge, watched dash cam video of the incident, she found that the evidence told a different story. The driver's speech wasn't slurred, his eyes weren't glassy, and the rookie officer who made the stop told his training officer back in the cruiser that the driver didn't have any smell. So basically, she went on to say, if it's an OUI, we're going to cheat. That's what the officer said. And that's what the judge is confirming she heard on the tape. I need to get out by 8:30 was also heard on the tape and confirmed by the judge. So, you know, this is the rare case where the cameras actually work against the cops. This is like my Guler and tomfoolery case. It's an ongoing investigation, yada, yada, yada. We'll share the link to the article. It's pretty long. Shout out to Dusty Christensen. Of course, these cops are all, they all have funny titles, the whole thing. I suggest reading it, everybody. But the point is, these, they don't give a fuck about the law. And that's my takeaway. They see it as a job, and they also see their job is to step on the neck of the working class. And that's literally how they treated this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They didn't abuse anybody, but they greatly abused somebody's civil rights. It's fucking horseshit, the whole thing. And now this poor person had to go through this whole thing, and it's probably still going to come up on a Corey check, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it? Did they get an OU? It's an OUI arrest?
Yeah.
I think it says that. Then that kind of is abuse, in my opinion. Like, they just used this person to get... They're like, sorry, we want to get out of work early. Like, you have to have this on your record for life. That definitely would be on a Corey check. You might not be able to work with children. So.
And for judges, so like my final take on this, the real big takeaway from this story is how pissed off the judge was. Judges do not fucking like doing this. Period. It's just not what they like to do because it undermines the whole fucking thing. And my take is like this is damning. Like, this whole article is damning as fuck. I don't know how there can be a debate. Like, this is how they view their job. This is mundane to them. So I suggest everybody read the article. That's my take on it. That's my ghoulery and tomfoolery. Joanna. Well, actually, no. Guess the Owen, please.
It's quite fascinating that a judge is excoriating them over this, because the judges work with the police. The judges routinely rubber stamp everything that the cops do. So this had to be real egregious.
Yeah, I mean, it's they have vested interest in keeping the jails a revolving door, whether they realize it or not. They see their job is literally as a meat grinder from the judges to the cops. So when a judge, because basically what it says is, like, if you're doing shit like this, it's going to undermine all this other stuff. Every other case you've done, like, you have to be a little more slick. That's like the dark side of this whole thing. That's what's going to get the lesson they're going to learn. Be a little more slick about it. Remember, you're on fucking camera. Nothing's a slam dunk. You know, get sneakier. Like, this isn't.
Don't get caught.
Don't get got. Like, it's just like when you're a kid, don't, you know, your one of your uncle or, you know, the enabler in your life is like, don't let your mother know. You know, it's not the right lesson. So the police are no different than fucking teenagers, and they have guns and badges, and this department has beaten people, you know, harassed trans people in a city that is like, if Northampton isn't safe, literally I wouldn't feel safe as a trans person anywhere. And I've been to trans fan places. I tend to gravitate to those places. And if Northampton isn't safe from a police beating, just because they don't know who or what you are. And that's a reason, Officer Borowski, for anybody playing at home, you can Google that story. So Joanna, wrapping up, I've kind of hogged the mic on the schooler and tomfoolery. I have a special craw for that fucking department.
I just think the person that probably was able to get counsel, unless it says that counsel wanted to represent them, probably was well off enough to be able to seek, you know, they knew like, okay, this is messed up. Like they put me through all these tests. I have the ability to get a lawyer and like the mental capacity to handle this whole process going against the police. So I just want the audience to know, like, this person probably has put people in positions where they have OUIs or other positions just to get out of work early multiple times. Like, you don't usually just do something like this once. And we share,
right.
And exactly, you know what I mean? It's not like a one, it's usually not a one-off thing. And so, and we've shared so many things, like you've mentioned, Spencer and Owen, about so many police forces just within our own communities. Where we're not saying we don't want to help and keep all of us safe. We want the money that we have to go to things to actually do that. And I think just so someone can get out of work to try to ruin someone's life, that's not keeping us safe. That woman should be terminated and not be getting a pension. And that's the bare minimum. Bare minimum. And I don't even think that will probably happen. I can't hear you, Spence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. This was a training thing, you know?
Yeah, so she's training people to be like the worst.
Right. So yeah, the judge admonishing them, and the reason, don't get altruistic, everybody at home. They're doing this to fucking protect their system.
Well, exactly. They have to make, when there's that much evidence, they have to do something. Or it's like, what, like, that's why the person who has the privilege and the money to be able to do this, thank you to them. But it is important to show, like, the most people probably wouldn't be able to fight this.
They're trying to avoid when this guy goes off the handle down the line, and they don't want to be have their, like, we caught this guy doing stupid shit. Like, when you do it that egregiously, but this is the same deal. Like, George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin, who was training people that fucking day.
Well, this was a female cop in Northampton too, right? Not that I like to play identity politics with that, but people love to say like, oh, well, let women bring women in, that'll help. I think this was a woman.
So it was Heather Long, officer.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter.
I know who she is. I know all the cops in Northampton.
I know that, like, I know what they. I don't know their names, but I know a lot of them.
But enough stories, and there's only so many of them. Let's be real.
Well, that's what I was gonna.
It's only so many, and I've been pulled over by a couple of them that I still see on the force, and some of these dudes pulled me over 15 years ago. And nice, you know, there's only so many cops in Northampton. Holyoke's a different story, but you know, and Holyoke, by the way, fucking pulling people out of retirement to go crack homeless people's heads, like, cool, just what we need, like, dudes that are out of training, you know. So it's like you can't even argue that, oh, they're well that, you know, well, I guess that is the argument. Well, we hadn't trained them in a while, so that's why they beat people up.
I'm sure that several of these officers were forced into retirement as a result of complaints against them. And one very interesting fact about the Holyoke Police Department is that pretty much no complaint that gets filed against them actually gets acted on.
Well, Captain Reyes was involved in you know, internal affairs or internal investigations, which would have been, I presume, the one reading the complaints. At least at some point, they would have known of the complaints. And yeah, you got, and it, what was it, Dusty? I think it was Dusty Christensen. I don't remember where he published it, but I think he found out there was like 100 in like the last 6 years that were all found unresponded to, or it didn't get to it, and it timed out. And that was basically all of them. It's like, yeah, of course people are going to stop complaining because they know the complaints go nowhere. Goes to the track,
and the guy you complain to is accused of like sexual harassment and so many other things. It's
sexual assault.
That's good.
Pressing his body against this person, that's sexual assault. You know, putting his lips on him, on this.
sexual assault of his own officer. Which,
yeah, on a female officer.
He was the one in charge, you know, at least at some point in the last 5 years since this abuse was happening to the subordinate officer. He was in internal affairs. Like, dude, it's like comical.
Well, it's like, it's almost like you feel like you're making it up. And when people think that I'm extreme, it's like, oh my God, in your own job, if you found out this was happening, wouldn't you want those people at least like fired? If your entire corporation were operating like this, would you want to be a part of it? Like, I just find it. There's no way that I'm extreme. I don't know how people get to that point and think, yes, we should just let this whole corrupt system be the way that we feel safe. It's wild to me. It always will be now. Once I've seen it, I can't unsee it, everybody. And I, please join me here. Please join me here.
Yes, please. But everybody, that said, this is about networking. This is about coalition building.
Oh, absolutely. That's how you get here.
If you haven't heard of the Workers' Party or any.
Now you have. Now you have.
You have. Well, you've heard of it because if you've listened to us before.
Yes.
He's an Eastern Mouse. But this is the guy to get in contact with about organizing locally in the Pioneer. I keep doing that. Connecticut River Valley or the Berkshires. Berkshire's a little far away, but, you know, definitely Connecticut River Valley. Organize with people like the Workers' Party. And you can always find them on all the social medias. If you just type in Workers' Party of Mass, they come up, and we will link them in our show notes. But please get organized. Talk to your neighbors. It's not just about voting. It's about all of it. It's about it's about gossiping about this shit. It's about sharing the stories. Like, we wouldn't, if we didn't know Owen, we wouldn't know other parties who witnessed this stuff where, you know, we don't want to share their names because we don't want them to be harassed. But like, we know of these people firsthand because we know Owen, who were harassed by the police last week, like community building. Right. So thank you, Owen, for keeping up the good fight and speaking your mind.
Thank you for
of course, and
of course, and for all your years of organizing, thank you for the values you uphold. That's so important
because it is about values at the end of the day, and we can have the better world. I don't know how to be corny about it, but we definitely don't have to have the ghoulery and tomfoolery of Northampton PD, like fucking juking the stats. And I mean, at least they weren't beating somebody this time, but they were just financially starving them by putting them through the fucking court system. Either way, it's a kick in the nuts for the poor civilian that, you know, our comrade, our fucking neighbor. This could be your neighbor. So we can imagine a better world. Get in contact with people that are organizing. It could be political, it could be mutual aid, like we talked about. Whatever you need to do, we the weed out. You reach out to us, we will do our networking thing with you. And appreciate everybody listening. Owen, thank you very much for coming on. Again, everybody, www.theweedout.com. Find all the stuff there. Joanne, do you have any final thoughts before we sign off?
Just take care, everyone.
Peace.